Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Marquette lost to Murray State.
But didn't shoot the ball so
Coach
great.
Wojo's on the hot seat. Can't recruit. Can't recruit. Now the Badgers take place today and they'll get beat too. College basketball in this state is such a mess. All our top players go other places because we can't recruit. Academic standards too high. No one wants to play for a loser. College basketball in the state is terrible. Let's all root for the Panthers because they at least they suck too. Let's root for Oshkosh. They ruin with a interim coach. Greg Gard and Wojo can't coach a paper bag.
I'm done. I like that.
We suck here, and the Bucks will choke as well, and the Brewers suck too. The Packers will never win again until they trade their diva quarterback. Let's talk about it with you, Chuck and Winkler.
I feel like you wrote that, is why I'm kind of embarrassed to be part of it.
No, top of my head.
That was good.
Everyone sucks here.
That was awesome.
Let's keep celebrating the 80s when we lost the World Series.
Should the Packers draft a quarterback?
Yes.
Will Greer.
Jabari Parker, come back to us. Gary Wolfe loves the Wizards.
Second best team in the East.
If you like mediocre teams, the Bucks are for you.
414-799-1250. Marquette losing yesterday to Murray State.
I have a confession to make.
Hmm.
I don't care about sports right now.
Why?
Did you see the trailer for that new Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Martin Scorsese movie?
No, is it good?
I mean, you got Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, and Martin Scorsese. I don't know. I don't think it could be bad. We'll watch it during the break.
Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino. Jesus, did I say Scorsese?
Yeah.
That's because he's doing that Netflix one with De Niro and Pacino, I believe. Losing my mind. Yeah,
Quentin Tarantino. I saw the trailer for Stranger Things 3. I'm pumped.
Yeah, everybody was coming at me pretty hard on that because I liked season 1 better than season 2. Apparently everybody likes season 2 better than season 1.
For Stranger Things?
Yeah, I thought season 2 sucked.
Season 2 was great, but 1 was way better.
Yeah, I shouldn't say it sucked. It's just I had higher hopes after season 1. Because season 1 was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. Because they like paid homage to all the movies I liked growing up.
Season 1's
better. Yeah, and the references, the pop
Who
culture.
Who thinks season 2's better?
People on Twitter. Cody being one of them. Your former producer.
Yeah. D's out in, D, are you in Fenimore again or Colorado?
Colorado, okay.
Oh, what's up, bud?
The one thing I want to correct y'all on this Marquette thing, Wojo is a
Did you like my singing?
Your singing was very funny and very entertaining, but that's what really made me call in, dog. The whole recruiting thing and not recruiting the state, if you look at it, both of them Hauser boys was the best in the state when Marquette got them. So they recruited in-state. And if you look at the rest of the team on Marquette has a lot of four-star talent. Baby was a slight tad bit under Ellison when they recruited Duty. One of the more should we forget that. I mean, Howard was a high recruit. They got a four-star point guard coming in. That's talking about declassifying so he can come in next year. Wojo can recruit, but his X and O's are horrible. I do think Greg Elliott hurting his hand kind of hurt them because they didn't have a backup point guard. But I think their team is kind of mismatched. He recruits too much. He doesn't have a glue guy. Everybody is a four-star or a high three-star on the team. So it's like you can see a lot of players from Marquette next year, and I guarantee you I'm worried about Jamal Cain being one of them transfer because they can't get the time because he has no set rotation. He has too much stuff to throw at the wall and hope it sticks, if that makes sense. He can recruit, but he can't coach.
So he's got talent, he just can't figure out how to put it together?
Yeah, it's kind of like Kevin O'Neill, Tom Crean was kind of like that when he had the big three. You saw some of the talent he had, then he left and Buzz took it off, and that's when Marquette consistently became the Sweet 16, Elite 18 that they was, with some of the same recruits that, you know what I'm saying, Kevin O'Neill and Tom Crean couldn't do that with, you know what I mean, type things. And sometimes it's not the exit, it's not what you bring in, it's how you cook it, man. You can have the best ingredients in the world, but if you want to burn it, it still tastes like crap, cuz. You can pour syrup on doodle all day, don't make it pancakes. And that's what dude's been doing, and that's why he should be on the hot seat. He brings in people, and everybody look at it. If you look at his recruiting class, I'm like, ooh, it's pretty high every year. And then it's going to be disappointing every year because he's going to find a way to mess it up.
Maybe I should change my song then. I'll change my song for you, D. Woj can recruit, but he can't coach. Do you consider... No glue guy, but the Badgers have 15 of them. If you merge the teams together, they'd probably still lose. College basketball is ruled by the one and dones, and we keep convincing ourselves maybe one day we can win, but then we make it to the NCAA tournament and we still lose, even with Frank Kaminsky, who gets in Twitter feuds with Dan Dockich, who sucks at his job, and Frank Kaminsky is a terrible pro. Sam Decker's not that good either. I'm so glad he did come to the Bucks because he would have been overrated. Sequels. See, the sequels are never as good.
Marquette had the 137th rated national rank in recruiting last year, but this upcoming year, they're fourth. So I guess that's a good point.
Ooh.
So recruiting.
Well, that's why I changed my song.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is a good class coming in. Hopefully he could do something with it.
So. Get out to Mike in Franklin, 414-799-1250. What's up, Mike?
Man, your voice belongs to American Idol, man. You're good.
Thank you. I'm going to take the compliment for what it is at face value and not the undertones I detect.
He's Canadian, though, so he wouldn't be able to participate.
Me? I guess Fond du Lac, that's about as Canadian. That's Canadian for Wisconsin. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, I think the biggest problem with the loss yesterday is that, you know, they were never that close, and you got blown out by a mid-major. So trying to recruit this offseason is going to be absolutely dismal. You already know that the coach in the hot seat, he might get fired. And then, you know, when you have a dismal performance by Marquette, who should be a national power, it does not make things any easier. So I don't see how Marquette recovers from this kind of loss anytime soon.
Oh, man. Is this loss going to be that bad?
I don't know. I mean, what were your expectations for Marquette coming into this season, to be quite honest?
I thought they could put together a Sweet 16 run.
Did you? Coming into the season before?
Yeah, it was time for Wojo's team to get to the Sweet 16. It was at least time to win a tournament game.
Yeah, I had higher hopes for the Badgers because last year was kind of just like injury riddled and Gard wasn't really even coaching his own guys. And I had higher hopes for Wisconsin, to tell you the truth, coming into this season. And I think I was right because they actually kind of figured it out. It was like almost two different seasons of college hoops in the state of Wisconsin, I feel, doing that show on Sundays, you know, with Don. Because the first half of the year, we didn't really know what to think, and then all of a sudden we jumped on this Marquette bandwagon, though. I said Final Four, Don agreed with me. You know, we were so excited, and just the way they were playing, and they were just so exciting to watch. Then towards the end of the year, it was like getting harder to talk about, and we were just ragging on the Badgers the first half of the season. I was talking about how boring they were. Then all of a sudden, man, they were shooting the ball and hitting 40% from three, and they were winning games. They beat Michigan. That win against Michigan is really when people started opening their eyes, like, maybe this team can make a run. And now, I honestly, I'm going back on my pick. I think Wisconsin goes to the Elite Eight.
Come on!
I do. I feel like this is the year where you expect nothing. You look at this team, you're like, they're so boring. And I feel like that's why they'll advance, because it's going to force you to watch three more Wisconsin games. I just feel like they're just going to, like, drag teams out, man. They defend. if they knock down their threes, I definitely think they win today. I do think they win today. Oregon, they've won 8 straight games. They're due for a loss here. I mean, they've been playing great basketball, but also let's look at the Pac-12. It's brutal. It's just a terrible style of basketball right now, despite what Bill Walton tells you. It's awful. And so I do think that style of play, if Wisconsin keeps this game in the 60s, if it's not like a 77-73 game, then I think Wisconsin wins. I think they win today like 63-58, let's go with.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath here. Chuck will be back on Monday. Sam Schmitz in with us as well. As far as the rest of yesterday's games, there were some exciting ones. I mean, we talked about the trash finish that was New Mexico State and Auburn. I was really pulling for my boys over at Vermont to knock off Florida State.
Me too.
That Florida State-Murray State matchup is going to be interesting. I'm going to take Murray State. I do not like Florida State. And watching Murray State yesterday, I'm going to take them come this weekend to get to the Sweet 16. Michigan State was tested for a while, but you knew at some point they'd run away with it. They win by 11. And then there were, you know, a good chunk of blowouts yesterday as well.
Did anything surprise you? The biggest surprise, I guess, for me yesterday was the fact that Kansas just dominated Northeastern like that. I guess I had higher hopes for Northeastern. Even in a bracket, I actually picked that upset because Kansas has been bad. I mean, name recognition, you look at Kansas and you see that 4 seed, and I'm sure people took them to the Sweet 16, to the Elite 8. This is the first year they hadn't won their conference in like 13 years or something like that. They're just not a great team. And then the other thing, I'm kind of surprised at how far people have Michigan State going. I know that they played great basketball, obviously. They won the Big Ten tournament, but they're banged up.
But that bracket, that region is not that tough. I mean, it's them and Duke.
And that's what surprises me the most is people saying that they like the style of play, that they like that matchup against Duke because of how they can defend them. I just do not see it. I think if they meet, I think Duke wins that game by 20.
Yeah, I think I would take Duke there. The other thing I wasn't surprised at was that LSU won. I think a lot of people got on the Yale bandwagon. Yale played their conference championship final in front of like 200 people. I mean, I don't know if you saw pictures of that. It looked like a high school gym.
I'm actually a huge Yale fan now, though, because a guy I know had him +7 yesterday, and I turned that game on, and I got worried for him. They were down like 20, and I'm like, oh, great.
A guy you know?
Yeah, a guy I know.
Yeah, a guy I know passed out on his bathroom floor last night because he drank too much. A guy I know. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk some more college hoops in about 15 minutes, break down some of the games today. Do got to touch on this Brewers news because this bullpen is in rough shape already. And then we find out some bad Corey Knebel news. We'll have that for you and what it means next. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
You know, there's some concern there. And he'll see Dr. Rosh today, and then we'll kind of figure out the next course of action. I don't know if we'll have answers after the game. We might have more information after the game, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's reason for concern.
That was Craig Counsell yesterday morning. They did have more information after the game on Corey Knebel. The elbow injury is a UCL issue, according to Adam McKelvey. He'll join us on Monday to talk about this 9 o'clock. Going to go for a second opinion. Not a complete tear. Not definitive that he needs Tommy John surgery. Has pitched through this, but this is not good news. Corey Knebel, going to miss some time. They're trying to be optimistic that it's not season-ending, but that tells you all you need to know that this is not going to be good. And when you're down Jeremy Jefferson, we don't know the extent of that yet. They're trying to work him back. He's on a program. You're down Corey Knebel. I mean, Josh Hader suddenly, is he your closer at this point? You don't want to use him in that role. They don't like to use him in that role because they like to choose when you use Hader, and I would still like that to be the case. Use Hader at the most valuable spots, not just because it's the ninth inning and you're up three. Use him when you're in a tie game, when you're up one in the fifth inning. Use him then. So I would still like to see that, but then who's closing games for this team?
Right. And I'm old school as hell, like where I like the setup man. I like the closer. I like guys to have their roles, but I feel like the first 2 months of the season, I don't think it's as important, especially the way that the game's played today. So I think you could kind of go a closer by committee. But, I mean, the way that Council likes to pick his matchups, I mean, this is huge. And when I heard Council say that He damaged it possibly in 2014, and he's been pressing and pitching through it since then. That's when I start to get a little bit scared, because while it's not a complete tear, just think of all the wear and tear. I mean, just kind of pressing through. And we saw the issues with Knebel last season. And so you start thinking a little bit deeper, like, is it a little bit more serious than we thought? Because I said 2 days ago, 3 days ago, that I thought it was serious, and that's why we were hearing the rumors.
Hader is your best guy in the bullpen.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you make him the closer. You guys can chime in, 799-1250. Matt Albers? No, I don't think anyone wants to see him close.
No.
Taylor Williams? Jacob Barnes has kind of been struggling.
Man.
Junior Guerra? I kind of like Junior Guerra in the pen. Or maybe even Chase Anderson, who will be in the bullpen. And Craig Counsell announced that yesterday. But Craig Counsell, I'll play this, he took his sweet time announcing that Chase Anderson was going to be in the bullpen. He's kind of going through the lineup. He's really stalling before he eventually tells you, oh, by the way, Chase is not in our rotation.
Brandon Woodruff's going to be in the rotation. Freddie's going to be in the rotation. And we're still just and Chase and Corbin are going to be on the team. Corbin's going to be
the team.
Corbin's going to pitch in the fourth game. Woody's going to pitch in the third game, probably.
And Chase?
There's some of the set days are not complete yet, but I would say the five guys are.
Is Chase one?
Chase is going to the bullpen.
Okay. Chase takes a sweet time before he announces that Chase is going to the bullpen. So you'll have the three young guys start, and I do like that. They are the three guys that I think need to pitch the most innings outside of Chacin. Chacin's kind of cemented as your team's number one right now. That may change. I really am encouraged by what I've seen from Brandon Woodruff. I really am encouraged from what I've seen from Corbin Barnes and Freddie Peralta. And I think if you threw one of those guys down at AAA to start the season, if you threw one of them to the bullpen, you'd be wasting quality innings from those guys. So I'm glad they're all in the starting rotation. And then Zach Davies, who still is only 26.
Mm-hmm. You forget that.
Yeah, he feels like he's... I mean, I know he looks younger, but you feel like he's been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. And with the current guys on this team, he is one of the elder statesmen somehow on this team, at least that have been with the Brewers. So he'll be the five guy right now, and then that's going to move Chase to the bullpen, which I would like to see how that goes.
It makes me a little bit nervous because he serves up a ton of meatballs. And so in that position, I don't know. I mean, the thing is there's a seven-time All-Star closer on the market right now, so I just feel like this is the time to make that move right now. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but I'm a little bit... I think the Jeffress thing's more serious.
The Jeffress thing seems serious, and now we found out this Knebel thing's serious.
That is serious. I mean, this is... like I said, the quote from Counsell a couple days back where he said he didn't want to comment on it, I knew that something was fishy right there. And anytime it has anything to do with like an elbow, a shoulder, just soreness, I mean, especially after the late run last season, because we always hear when teams make these late, deep postseason runs, you know, the World Series hangover or this and that, you know, because of the added month or two to the season. So I think there's definitely reason to be concerned, and that's your strength on this team is the bullpen. So I feel like if you could add a piece, I think you got to go out You got to go out right now and do it.
It's very serendipitous that there is this guy who's been an All-Star seven times, MVP candidate,
right?
Even as a closer, Craig Kimbrell. It's very serendipitous. Oh, all of a sudden you have all this bullpen help?
Mm-hmm.
If only there was a guy available. There is. Pay him.
And
go get him.
And the thing is, exactly, and you look at the teams you're going to be facing in the division with the Cardinals, and you look at that lineup, and then you look at the Cubs in that lineup, and you do not want to be rolling Taylor Williams. You do not want any of those names pitching to... You don't want to be picking those matchups in the eighth and ninth inning against Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez. You want to stick with what you have with Jeffress, Knebel, and Hader, or find, you know, valuable replacements, because the Cubs, I mean, they still can't hit off-speed pitching. And that's how you beat them. You pick your matchups in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, and you see that's how they struggle. They can't hit anymore. You don't want to get into a run-scoring contest with the Chicago Cubs or the Cardinals with that new lineup, or even, you know, some of these surprise teams that are going to come up Like, the Reds got a lot better. I mean, the NL Central is packed right now. The Pirates.
You see some of these predictions, and there's like rankings that have every team at least with a 500 record.
And I picked the Brewers to win the NL Central based off this bullpen because they kind of built their team unlike anybody I've seen like in the last decade, the way that they've built their team. And that's kind of where baseball's heading in that direction. And you look at the Cardinals got better. Like, I don't know what Andrew Miller really brings at this stage of his career, but the way that they're going to use him and pick their matchups, it's just kind of the way that the game's heading. And I'd be concerned right now, especially when you look in Chicago. I mean, I know Yu Darvish has the blister, but if he is going to be healthy, he was looking great before that. He hit like 95, 96 on the radar gun. The slider looked good.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Chris Bryant. It's going to be a big year for him because he's coming off the shoulder injury, and he's going to want a new deal coming up here, and he's seeing what Mike Trout got. He saw what Bryce Harper got. So I feel like the Cubs are going to get a little bit better. They were banged up last year, and they won 95 games. I'm scared about the Cardinals. It's because I hate them more than anything on this planet, but that lineup stacked. If they stay healthy in that rotation, and that's where the problems are, especially with some of their younger guys, they've had troubles keeping them on the mound, then I think that they could win the NL Central. So I feel like literally any team could win it this year, and now there's some reason to be concerned if your bullpen's beat up.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. John in Franklin, happy Friday to you. What's up, bud?
Hey, happy Friday, guys. I mean, there's huge concern. I'm not trying to worry about the other team's lineups because with the improvements we've made to ours, I feel we can score with them. But I think we're on a real fine line with this pitching staff. I understand these young guys got some valuable high-pressure innings, and they pitch pretty well. But, the thought process I'm hearing about, you know, we're going to get Jimmy Nelson back, and he's going to be a big part. I mean, I'd love that. I hope it's completely true. But if that's really the plan A backup plan with this rotation, because let's face it, one or two of these guys is probably not going to pitch real well. And then we get to the Scrable injury. This is awful. This is troubling. And no, you do not want to use Josh Hader as your closer. Josh Hader is the guy that you call up when your starter has gotten himself into a huge jam. Runners on second and third and one out, you bring Josh Hader in, he strikes two guys out, maybe pitches another inning. That's what Josh Hader does, and that is invaluable, keeping games within reach, you know, when your starter starts tiring out. So I'm not quite sure what they're going to do. I don't want to see Barnes in high-pressure innings. I really don't. I hope it doesn't come to that. I know he's got great stuff. I hear about his great stuff all the time. But every time I turn the spring training game on and he's in it, he's getting hit all over the ballpark. So, yeah, I think Kimbrel would be a wonderful addition, but I think the guy's going to want a long-term deal, and we're not going to give him a long-term deal. So it'll be interesting to see if anything can shake out on that front guys on maybe a two-year deal if we could get him to sign for something like that. But I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think with the whole Knebel thing too, John, and thanks for the call, it does put a lot of pressure on those young guys. So now I think it puts more pressure on the starting pitchers than it does the bullpen. If you can get these guys to go 6, 7, 8 innings, that is going to make everything better.
That's asking a lot.
But I really believe in Burns, Woody, and Peralta. I really believe in these guys. Now, consistently 8 innings, that's not going to happen.
I mean,
but yeah. I like their stuff. I believe in these guys. I think they've all got the mental wherewithal to do that. And we'll see what happens. You get two of them to hit, like really hit. And you're in a great position. But, you know, the bullpen was your strength. It is not right now, not with these injuries, not with two of your top three guys on the shelf to start the season.
Right, and because it was the strength, I mean, that's all we really remember. But if you go back to last season, you lost Knebel for, what, like 2 months?
Yeah.
To injury. And during that time, Matt Albers was pretty good. Jacob Barnes was pretty good. I mean, they were pretty solid. But then
the
you just
best
think of
the bullpen pitched last year was when Knebel was out. They all stepped up in his absence.
Yeah,
and they're going to have to do that again. But you don't have Jeffress to lean on this time, though, in that scenario either.
And that's why I'm adding another arm into that bullpen. And I agree. I don't want to give a long-term deal to a guy in his 30s. I think that Major League Baseball's kind of went away with that. I don't know how many years Kimbrel's going to be looking for, though. I mean, does he really expect 6 to 7? In that closer role, though, I may give the years. I mean, let's see, because this is...
To Kimbrel? You can't give him six.
I'm not giving him six. What's the most you give him? 3 to 4?
Even 3's too much.
He's not doing 2, I don't think. I just don't think... Well, it depends. I mean, because here's the problem.
You just don't lock up closers long term.
Well, and the thing is, it's not like he's going to want to come over and take less years or less money to win a World Series, because, I mean, he's kind of been there, done that. The guy has over 300 career saves. He's pitching World Series. I mean, he's pitching big in the big market in Boston, so I don't think he's going to come over here just to, like, join a great atmosphere, and you're not going to bring him in just to win. You get what I'm saying? Like... And that's what concerns me a little bit. But, I mean, that's, like I said, it's your strength. And so you don't want to go into the season and rely on Matt Elbers as good as he was last year when you were without Knebel. I feel like you don't want to start the season off trailing in the division by 4 or 5 games like the first month or two. I don't know that you could come back from that. Whereas I would say last year maybe you can, because everybody's going to go through their struggles. I don't think you want to start like that this season and play catch up the rest of the year, because you have 3 teams now rather than just 1 to worry about in the Central.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We'll talk some Bucks coming up. Eric Name's going to join us at 8:35. We will hear from Eric Bledsoe on the show today. And then we had the chance recently to talk with Marcus Johnson. And with this being his jersey retirement weekend on Sunday, we do want to take a listen to that. We'll do that around 9:35. Really good stuff, some memory lane stuff with Marcus Johnson. 9:35 here this morning. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. More college hoops next on the
Bracket Buster. The one who's never supposed to win, but I pump you. And time after time, again and again.
Inbound, and a shot is good with the foul. How about that? The inbound to Ja Morant diving down the lane, and he's got a chance at a 3-point play after taking a shot to the head.
I'm the Bracket Buster.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath in for Chuck today. Frames will be back on Monday. Just taking a little sabbatical for the tournament, as many guys and women are doing this time of the year, to watch some college basketball, to talk about that with us. You can find him on Twitter at Haslam Metrics. Eric Haslam on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Eric, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, Eric. Yesterday, people in Wisconsin, around the state, were exposed to Ja Morant for the first time. I think a lot of people now know, and he's going to become a household name around here. I think we all kind of expected, you know, Murray State to beat Marquette. I know a lot of people, that was their hot upset pick, if you want to call that an upset. Were you surprised, though, at how they handled Marquette? You know, it was never really a close game. And how far do you think Murray State could go in this tournament with Ja Morant?
You know, I was a little bit surprised, because I thought this would come down to the whole Marcus Howard, Ja Morant thing. And granted, Howard performed, you know, he put in a bunch of points, did not shoot particularly well. But, yeah, I was surprised at almost how someone said on Twitter that Morant made Marquette look like a fifth-grade team. And it was kind of like that. They just didn't look like they were motivated, Marquette. They looked like they were just shell-shocked. They weren't well-prepared. And Morant is, you know, I've seen this in the past. And the guy that I think of going years and years ago is Wally Szczerbiak, was a guy that made an impact in the tournament by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Ja Morant is that kind of guy. The guy that just, you know, single-handedly, usually a team unit is what's going to advance this tournament. But in this case of Ja Morant, he is just a phenom. The stuff he did, especially the passing. What did he end up? 16 assists, 2 away from the NCAA tournament record. Marquette just had no answer for him, and he was just so dominant. I think this team, I don't know how far they can go. You get a Florida State team that's very beatable, and then after that you're looking at Gonzaga, and Gonzaga is that ultimate team basketball. I don't think that Ja Morant has enough in him by himself to beat Gonzaga, but I think that he could definitely put a scare in the Seminoles in the second round.
Talking with Eric Haslam, you can find him on Twitter and online, haslammetrics.com. Badgers in action today, Oregon the opponent, another 5-12 matchup where, you know, an upset seems possible. How do you view Wisconsin in terms of today's matchup, and then if they do win today, how far they might be able to go?
Well, if they win today, I think they're, it's, you know, I still have them getting past, the analytics have them getting past Oregon, and then they'd also get past Kansas State. But the team, you've seen them in the past. I mean, Virginia is our number 2 team in the country right now in our analytics. Wisconsin has never, ever had an easy time, and that seems to be like the cap for Wisconsin. Even if they get through these first 2 games, you're waiting on Virginia, who's just waiting there, and assuming they don't melt down like they did last year, that's going to be an extremely tough out. Oregon, though, is a problem, first of all. They're ninth in the country in momentum at my site. They're top 50 in all of the defensive field goal percentage metrics. And on top of that, when it comes to putbacks, which is what I call defensive second chance conversion percentage, they're number one in the country. So Wisconsin better make their shots today, because they're going to be one and done if they're missing their shots, because Oregon is they are masters at cleaning the defensive glass.
Eric, a lot of top teams. I feel like this year more than ever, everybody's picking Duke, Kentucky. You know, everybody's looking at these top teams and not really paying attention to the number two seeds, like a team like Tennessee, a complete team. You know, if you're looking at this bracket right now, who do you think, you know, the top team that could be upset is? Like, do you see anybody beating Duke or North Carolina? And who could be the surprise team that could make a run in this tournament and maybe even win the thing?
Well, I think the team that a lot of people are picking is going to be Florida State. And Florida State has, they just never die. They just keep playing. I've always said about Virginia, Virginia is a team where if Virginia's up 12, it feels like it's 24. With Florida State, it feels like when they're down 15, it might as well be nothing, because they can put a run together so quickly. They go for 40 minutes, and they could give Gonzaga a problem. That's the one that a lot of people are identifying as a possible upset. You know, I look at some of these other games. I don't know what Washington or Utah State could do with North Carolina. I still like Virginia to go a distance. You know, I wonder about Duke. If Duke ends up against Mississippi State or Virginia Tech, what those teams could do against Duke. It depends on the motivation of Duke. I don't know how much of a team unit they are. They look like a group of individuals who really have the NBA draft on the horizon. I don't know how much a championship means to them. So you wonder if they could be caught napping by a Virginia Tech or a Mississippi State, but I don't see Duke having a problem until then.
Yeah, the one knock we hear on Duke is just the fact that they're not a great three-point shooting team. How big of a factor do you think that could be if they are to get knocked off?
Oh, absolutely, and that's the thing. I've always said before, and you can't fix shooting. If you have problems in the tournament and you're not a great shooting team, you know, you're eventually going to be one-dimensional. Now, granted, Duke's one dimension is outstanding. When you look at what Barrett and Williamson and Reddish can do, not to mention Trey Jones, those guys are just they will find ways to score. And they occasionally have their good days from the perimeter, but they really aren't great outside shooters. You wonder if a team like a Virginia Tech gets really hot and they build a lead and Duke can't overcome it. You know, who knows? Maybe we see that Duke upset in the Sweet 16. But, yeah, that's definitely going to be a knock against them.
Talking with Eric Haslam, Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath in for Chuck today. HaslamMetrics.com, the site. Not too many upsets really yesterday. Some close games, but the top seeds pretty much did take care of business. When we look at today's slate, any upsets ripe for the picking, Eric, in your mind?
Well, I'm looking down the list here real quick. The ones that I identify, obviously Wisconsin is one that is susceptible, I think, in that 12-5 matchup. The other 12-5 matchup is Liberty. A lot of people have picked Liberty to beat Mississippi State. That'd be one. Another one I'd keep an eye on would be UC Irvine. That's a team I've been high on in the past. That's a really good defensive team. They're playing a very good defensive team in Kansas State. That'll be an interesting matchup, but I could definitely see UC Irvine coming out of that one as the 13th seed and knocking off the Wildcats.
Eric, my favorite part of the tournament is a day like yesterday, because you find out more about a guy like Ja Morant, who, let's be honest, like a lot of us aren't watching Murray State basketball. I know you're watching most of the games, but a lot of us, you know, probably didn't know who he was before that. Who are some other top players that are maybe unknown right now that we could watch in this tournament that maybe, you know, not lottery picks at the next level, but might end up being solid pros, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know if there's going to be solid pros, but the guy that I'm gonna throw out there is going to be Fletcher McGee. I hope you guys got a chance to stay up late last night and watch that Wofford-Seton Hall game.
Yeah, career high three-pointers.
Oh, man, was that fantastic to watch those two teams. Miles Powell, first of all, with Seton Hall, is a phenomenal player. But the stuff that Fletcher McGee could, I mean, his shooting prowess is unbelievable. And watching him just drill, I don't know, what did he end up with, 7 or 8 last night or something like that, three-pointers? Just drilling three-pointer after three-pointer, and he's not the only guy on that team that can make those three-pointers. That team is second in the country in three-point percentage in my analytics, only behind Virginia. So I guarantee you Kentucky is going to be sweating a little bit watching that game, because Wofford is for real.
Yeah, absolutely. He actually set the record yesterday, 505 for his career.
Yeah, unbelievable. The guy, and just and his quick release, and he's 3-4 feet behind the three-point line, and he hops and lands, grabs and shoots, and you're like, oh my God, how does he make that? It's just amazing what he can do. And yeah, that's a very, very dangerous team. They knocked off Seton Hall by 16 last night.
Eric, appreciate some time, good insight, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Eric Haslam, you can follow him on Twitter and check out the website, too. Some good analytics stuff when it comes to this college basketball tournament, HaslamMetrics.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Reason to celebrate, Bucks fans. You are champions. Details next. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose. We are the champions. Oh my God, my friend. It just feels so good. So long for this. You know, we were so close the other night, but when I saw that final between the Warriors and the Pacers, with the Pacers loss clinching a Central Division championship for the Milwaukee Bucks, I can't even get over it. The Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks, Central Division champions. For the first time since 2001, it's been so long.
I think about all the Buck greats didn't get to celebrate.
Oh, Andrew Bogut.
Michael Carter Williams. Brandon Jennings.
John Salmons.
Oh, John Henson didn't get to stick around for this one. All the hard work and dedication he put in. Oh, man. Tony Kukoc.
Oh, Keith Van Horn. Feels so good. The Bucks. They do clinch the Central, and nobody cares. I do.
I do, too.
Damn it! I care.
I actually just found out.
You won something. You just found out just now.
No, I knew.
The last, when I told you, you said, why are you going to play Queen? The Bucks won the Central. Oh. The Bucks won the Central. For the last 20 years, it's been Pistons, Pacers. Pistons won it 4 times in a row. Cavs a bunch. Bulls, Pacers, but never the Bucks. And in the way that the NBA's, you know, in the way that they structure themselves, it doesn't really do much. I mean, the Bucks, you just, the seeding's going to come down to record anyway. But hey, you got an achievement and good for them. You got goals, you got a goal.
What were your expectations? I don't remember of the Bucks heading into this season. Like, if I would have told you that they were Central Division champions, would you call me crazy? Did you think they were going to be this good?
Yeah, for sure for the Central between the Cavs, Bulls, Pistons, and Pacers.
Right.
I did think the Pacers would. Well, they got the injury with Oladipo. I thought what everybody thought, that 50 wins was certainly doable in that top four team. Now, to be the best team in the league, I can't tell you that I thought that.
I didn't expect that at all. I thought like 48 to 52 wins, to be quite honest, would be a huge improvement. I thought, Indiana is good, but I thought with the healthy Depot, and I'm really high on Sabonis, and I kind of like their bench, I thought that they'd be competing back and forth with the Bucks throughout the year. But obviously, you know, the Bucks got off to that hot start, and then the Depot injury, and things. Yeah, if you would have told me the Bucks were this good, I would have called you crazy. I don't want to sound like a hater. I mean, I thought that they were going to obviously improve under Budenholzer, but my problem coming into the season is, and I was like, did you get any better or did you get worse? Because I'm not going to lie, I was kind of a big Jabari guy. Bring back Jabari. I was on that train for a while.
Hey, well, you're in good company here then, dude.
And then after two, I watched him in Chicago for 2 weeks, and I was like, oh. Man,
he's playing well with the Wizards.
He is. Maybe he's found
at least
home with
he's putting up points.
I feel like that's a good fit for him, especially right now, because I mean the Wizards have been playing good basketball because Bradley Beal. You know what's crazy about the Wizards, real quick, to go back to that, is that they always play really good when John Wall gets hurt. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, I think it tells you a lot.
And I feel like John Wall will most likely be gone if they could get anybody to take that contract on, and then Jabari. he could get his 15 to 20 shots playing no defense. Maybe that's his perfect fit right there.
I think it's a perfect... Jabari Parker on the Washington Wizards is a perfect fit for many reasons. The Bucks, Central Division champs, 53-19 in action again a couple of times this weekend, including tonight. We'll talk Eric Name, 835 with The Athletic. We'll talk about this team and some of the problems, 5-5 in their last 10. Marcus Johnson, Chuck and I had a great chance to talk to him when he found out that his jersey would be retired. We'll bring that free at 9:35 this morning, so plenty of Bucks here on this Fear the Deer Friday. Chuck and Winkler, Central Division champs here on The Fan.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.